Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And a celebration is in order. We welcome our friend Jared Stillman to the program here on this Friday morning. Stilly, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, I'm so glad to be on the Robbie and Rex Road program. My son and I were listening to TD, and I started Googling. I was trying to feed him with one hand, and I was trying to Google with the other hand. What did James Pierce Jr. do? Clearly, he did something.
Clearly.
Because I don't know what it is. I have no idea when TD's like this off-the-field stuff. You know, I hear there may be something to this. I'm like, I didn't know of any of this off-the-field stuff with James Pierce Jr. So I'm stunned that my college football insider, my Tennessee Volunteers homer, the Athletic's finest college football writer this side of the Mississippi, Joseph Robinette Rexrow Jr., does not know what James Pierce Jr. did at Tennessee.
So you're telling me this is the first time you've heard of this? We've been talking about this for 2 weeks.
This is the first I've heard of there being off-the-field issues with
You're too busy tracking down what Florio said about, like, you know, like Sam Darnold in 2019 or something. By the way, I'm glad to hear that you were home feeding your son and that he didn't have to say, "Where's Daddy? It's 3 a.m. Is Daddy at the bar again?"
Is he talking already? Wow, that'd be aggressive.
That would be amazing, right?
It'd be amazing. Really,
you know, I think that, you know, we all have our public personas in our personal lives, but
sure.
The fact that my son's mom is the Canadian CMA Industry Person of the Year, last week was the Country Radio Seminar, and the fine folks at Broken Bow Records had this wonderful event that that we were a part of, and then Jelly Roll opened his bar, and because Jelly Roll is signed with Broken Bow Records, we were at the grand opening of Jelly Roll's bar. It was a very, very wonderful evening. Our son was well taken care of. We actually have this thing, Joe, called a babysitter.
Yep.
Who we lined up to watch our son. And so it's all about juggling all of the professional success both Lindsay and I have and, of course, our new life with our son. So
at the expense of the Robbie and Rex Road program. We appreciate it.
Unfortunately, the Robbie and Rex Road program had to go as I was standing there at Jelly Roll's bar at 12:30 about to fall asleep with my feet hurting. Like, all right, I'm ready to go home. Take my shoes off like an old man.
Stilly always.
By the way, I fell asleep at like 8 o'clock last night. Which is kind of the new norm for me.
Stilly always turns this into a humble brag. It's like, you know, we're talking about Stafford. He's like, well, yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, I was at the same resort as Brian Kelly. And so I understand these things can happen. By the way, it was a very opulent resort that I was at. Thank you. Thank you.
I will say this. As we ran into the Callahans.
You like that?
I remember thinking to myself, being like, you know, we talking about – we can afford to be here, but if we had kids, I'm not sure we could be because of how much, like, you know, it's like $20 for a hamburger, and I'm sure kids probably eat like 7 of them. And that's something I'm not looking forward to here in the distant future.
So on one of my favorite things to periodically check in on is it's really a, you know, a metric that I've developed in my head, which is the Jared Stillman 1 to 10 panic meter. And I feel like now is a good time to check in on that. After the Abdul Carter stuff that came out over the last couple of days, Jared, 1 to 10, where are you on the Jared Stillman panic meter as it relates to Abdul Carter and the Tennessee Titans?
I'll give it a 10. A freaking 10 is where I am with the Abdul Carter. I mean, this is serious stuff. And I know it's what confirms my belief in how serious this Abdul Carter thing is, at least to be concerned about, not to take him off the board right away. But the thing that makes me for sure that this is a big deal is that Joe is completely brushing this off as if it is no big deal. Joe's like, oh,
so that's how
cares?
How you make your decisions?
Number one pick. I mean, look, if I was leaning towards, is this a big deal or is this not a big deal? Joe says it's not a big deal. It's a big deal, folks.
Okay, so you're the GM. Okay, so you're the GM. So because of this information, you're not picking him now?
As of right now?
Like you were going to.
No.
So you're switching. You were going to pick him and now you're picking,
yes.
Let's say, non-quarterback. You're picking who?
Hunter.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm taking Hunter anyway. I'm already taking Hunter. So, you know, but no, I don't think the information we have, Jared, again, you have to keep put things in proper context. It's a stress reaction. This is not a Jones fracture. It's not a Lisfranc fracture. It's not
who's
a
giving us
broken metatarsal. Oh, okay. Oh,
Rosenhaus.
I see. That's right. The panic meter does rely on conspiracy theories. I forgot about that.
I had a former general manager yesterday I was texting with who told me, because I'm like, well, Carter says they say that he's going to do the pro day. And again, that's another thing. Joe's like, I don't think he needs to do the pro day. I am telling you, Joe, there is no gray area on this. If he did not work out at the combine, which he didn't, and if he did not do the pro day or a private workout for Floyd Reese would not draft Abdul Carter. Like, he would not draft him. And he would be fine. If Abdul Carter went on to be a Hall of Famer, he'd be fine with it. They didn't draft
Randy
Moss.
Okay, well, he shouldn't be. No one should be fine with that.
He didn't draft Randy Moss because of all the off-the-field issues that Randy Moss had, which
are
well
documented. You're really detailing some great decisions here. You got more?
Right.
Right. Like, sometimes that's not the right way to go about it.
The point of this for him, and even after Randy Moss entered the Hall of Fame, and he and Randy were friends, like from their days in New England, he was not upset with his decision to not draft Randy Moss because he had, again, this set of values that, hey, this is how we operate. And we're going to operate like this 100% of the time, and we're going to be right 70% of the time. And so you're going to miss when you have these certain values, you're going to miss on a Jeffrey Simmons. Because you're going to say, well, he's injured. You know, let's not take him. He didn't work out. Let's not draft. So you miss on Simmons. But you also don't get yourself into Julio Jones. You don't get yourself into Caleb Farley. You don't get yourself into Legarius Sneed. You don't get yourself into Corey Davis. So I do
you don't end up with Jeffrey Simmons
in the 100. Right. Again, just because it's convenient doesn't mean that you say, well, you
but
know,
Jared,
this one time
listen,
it worked out, so now it'll work out all these other times.
Right.
And that's how you dig yourself the hole the Titans dug. So if you've got core values, you stick to those values regardless of whether or not it's convenient. If that's what you believe in, and that's what I believe in is, hey, if you've got a foot injury for a big guy and you don't work out, I can't use the first overall pick on you.
Yeah, so – Liz, I hear what you're saying, and I think that it's fine to have those standards and but you also there is a sliding scale. And like to even try to take the Caleb, and I heard Big Joe doing this, to take the Caleb Farley thing and comp it to what we know right now about Abdul Carter to me is pretty comical. It's
what we're
bad.
Told by Drew Rosenhaus.
Okay. Well, of course. That's fine. But like if the kid doesn't work out his pro day because he's still healing, then that's there are other things that you can do here too. I mean, you have your own medical people.
Maybe you could win 111 games as general manager of the Titans. Maybe you could build a team that goes.
I mean, you would probably win 222 at least, right?
Maybe you could do. Maybe you could do all these things. I'm just telling you right now, the guy who is the best general manager in the history of the Tennessee Titans. If Abdul Carter did not work out at his pro day, if he did not do a private workout for the Titans, if he did not work out at the combine, he would not draft him. And those are the values with which I believe in building a team. And so I'm sticking to my values. You know, I heard Robbie today because people on Twitter yesterday were, Abdul Carter's never misses games. You can't say he's injury prone. Wasn't that the excuse for Legarius Sneed last year? Just because all the medical information points to Legarius Sneed being unavailable in the future, susceptible to injury, it's like, well, it doesn't count because he didn't miss any games. Well, what's the medical information say about Abdul Carter's
future? And again,
future?
You're talking about a guy who didn't even participate in camp last year. Like, again, you're trying to compare that to this. I understand it's an injury, but if you're going to say hell no.
He's got two injuries right now.
Right. He's got a shoulder injury and he's got this foot
and
injury.
And I didn't say hell no. I'm not saying take him off the board. I'm saying he's got to work out at the pro day. If he doesn't work out at the pro day, I'm out. I will not draft somebody who does not work out at the combine and does not work out at the pro day.
Jared, a couple things for you. What did you make of Floyd?
But I guess you know more. I guess you know more than Floyd does, Joe.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
What did you make of the Florio stuff? He floated out there yesterday for the Cowboys having conversations to move up to number one. And where do you think Stafford's going to end up here when this is all said and done?
Boy, I think Stafford's going to end up with the Giants, which I absolutely hate. The Cowboy floating it out there, number one thing. Like, I mean, Florio, and I wonder how a capital J journalist, Joseph Robinette Rexroad Jr., I wonder how he does feel about this because Florio's like, I don't have enough to report this, and I don't like to traffic in this
he
gossip.
He did say that.
But
yeah,
here's the gossip. And I was like, as soon as my buddy does the morning show that Florio said, I text him. I was like, can you send me that cut right now? And I was like, this is a big deal to me. So I like the gossip part of it. I don't think the Cowboys are serious contenders to move up from 11 to the number one pick. But if the Rams can move up from 15 to the number one pick, anything's possible. I'm trying to figure out like what the point for Jerry Jones to move up to number one would be. Like the best players in this draft, he's got a quarterback. He's got a pass rusher.
Because he's moving Dak. He's moving Dak, and he's getting Cam Ward. That's what it would
be. How do you move Dak with a full no-trade clause?
Oh, Dak will do it. If the Cowboys actually set this into motion, that Dak would be like, no, I'm just going to stick with the no-trade?
If they try to trade me to the Jets? That's the whole point of having the no-trade.
Everybody loves Nashville, Jared.
So Dak's going to be part of the deal to come to the Titans.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do that if I was Dak. There's no state income tax in Dallas. He's got CeeDee Lamb at wide receiver. And, I mean, again, now look, maybe Dak would be okay with the lack of attention. But if Dak Prescott were to leave the Cowboys, I think he'd have to say goodbye to his Sleep Number commercials and his yogurt commercials and his, marketing persona goes down a little bit when you go from the Cowboys to the Titans. I don't think Dak would accept a trade to the Titans.
Hey, Florio said Micah Parsons. You can sign me up for that. I'll do that.
Well, Micah Parsons doesn't have a no-trade clause. Now, the only thing I could see in this is Jerry would want to pull the A.J. Brown, Treylon Burks thing here and say, well, let's trade Micah to get the next Micah who we don't have to pay. But the problem is because it's the number one pick, you'd have to pay more, in my opinion, than just Parsons. And I don't think that's really a fair trade for the Cowboys. I mean, personally, I think Parsons will be better than any player in this draft, but I still wouldn't just trade him straight up. And if I were the Titans, I would drive to Dallas to go pick up Micah Parsons and drive him back so that nothing happens with, all the plane issues we've had around the country lately. So I'd love it, but I just don't think it's very serious. And Ian and I were talking about this yesterday on the air. I said, do you actually believe that the Cowboys reached out to the Titans for the number one pick? Florio's like, I heard this, like just grapevine gossip. And Ian said no, and I kind of agree with him. I actually think there's probably a pretty good chance this didn't happen. Fun to talk about.
Okay, hush. I like the hush, by the way. A couple quick things from the text line. What Stillman's saying right now about sticking to values pretty much goes, this is Sean, goes against everything he says when he's not talking about Floyd. That's pretty good. LD from McMinnville would like to know, has Jared ever addressed the fact that his impeccable, infallible Sam Darnold, big competitor, didn't compete at the Combine in 2018? Could have tried to make a push for the number one pick. Didn't compete at the Combine. Any thoughts, Jared?
He did compete at the Combine.
He didn't throw.
But he did compete. He ran a 4.85.
Oh,
he ran a 1.66.
So that's okay.
10-yard split.
Oh, you got his splits.
Three cone drill.
You got his cones? Oh, goody.
I mean, he didn't bench press.
Why didn't he throw, Jared? Why didn't he throw? Does that matter or not?
If I was picking in the 2018 draft, I might hold it against him. But we've seen Sam Darnold compete in the NFL.
Okay.
It's not exactly an apples-to-apples comparison. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to figure out what makes Shedeur Sanders so good. In terms of why I'm supposed to draft him.
If I was his agent, 100%, you do not throw because he does not have the big arm that Cam Ward had. He doesn't have a huge arm. Everybody knows that. So throwing at the combine is stupid. And that's exactly what his agent told him. And that's what he's doing.
His arm strength's right there.
That's fine. They're saying it's fine. I mean, that's why he's being asked about it, though. Right? It's anticipation. It's Kirk Cousins throwing at the combine would have been a terrible idea. But Kirk Cousins can play quarterback in the NFL. That's
Shedeur
Sanders.
I think everybody is sitting there when it comes to Shedeur. I think Shedeur is a TV draft prospect. Just like we talk about TV
just
players.
Just fake.
The Titans
He's not
traded
really a
for
good
Julio
player.
Jones. And when the Titans acquired Julio Jones, TV went into this. Are they now the favorites for the Super Bowl? Because they acquired a 31-year-old injured Julio Jones. It would be like if the Chiefs, needing a running back, signed Ezekiel Elliott. Like, Zeke is done. But TV would be,
stupid.
Oh, my God, what do we make of it? And so I think, the more I hear these guys that like grind the tape, I think Greg Cosell said that he's got Tyler Shuck. And I think Tyler Shuck is a backup
Your boy.
In the NFL. He's got Tyler Shuck ahead of Shedeur Sanders. Tim Hasselbeck said that he thinks that Shedeur is closer to the other guys in the discussion than he is the top of the draft. And yet, because he's Deion's kid, and because, you know, it's Stephen A. Smith and they love Deion, I think that they're kind of putting Shedeur up in a spot where he doesn't belong.
You're not this dumb.
Josh Allen.
So you're telling me that if it was again Shedeur Jones, yeah.
Yes.
That he'd be like the sixth quarterback, he'd be like a third round draft grade. That's what you're saying?
I think he'd be in the mix with Tyler Shuck.
Okay. All Jackson right. That's a good place to end it.
Jared, I mean, you want to draft Shedeur ahead of Cam Ward.
The Deion thing, Jared, the Deion thing is held against him. The Deion thing is a complete negative for him. It only hurts him. You seriously think that he's overinflated as a prospect because Stephen A. is friends with – like, think about things before you say them sometimes.
Okay, so you're telling me that this guy is a top draft prospect, doesn't have any elite physical talents, correct?
Jared, yeah, no, he doesn't have Cam Ward's arm. Yes,
He didn't win in college.
He took a 0-12 program and turned them into a winner. What are you talking about? Didn't win in college like Patrick Mahomes? How much did he win in college?
Again, Patrick Mahomes.
Keep going down the rabbit hole of stupidity. I think
Patrick
we need
Mahomes
to break now.
Had elite arm talent. Patrick Mahomes
didn't win in college.
Showed
didn't
and
win in
competed
college.
At the combine. I am asking.
Oh, now we're doing
Shedeur
the compete at the combine.
Give me something, Shedeur Sanders, that tells me you're worthy of the number one pick.
So he didn't win have in you watched Shedeur Sanders' film or no?
Yes.
Okay, and it's not a prospect. Not a guy who could be an NFL quarterback. That's what you come away with?
He's not anywhere near Campbell.
Okay. Thank you.
In terms of talent. Not anywhere
Sleep
close
it off.
To Cam Ward. By the way, this Shamar Stewart, I got to know. I see everyone's telling me that he's a top 10 pick. This guy gets one sack a year in college. Someone's got to explain to me what I'm missing. Why is he not getting more sacks in college?
We don't need another topic.
TD
Thank you, Jared.
The system is working against him at Texas A&M. You'll have to dig into that in Jared's film room. I'm just telling you what he said. Jared, thank you for being with us.
People that listen to this show, if you listen to Joe, you're going to assemble the worst roster in the history of the NFL.
Right. But listen to Jared. Oh,
all injured
goodness.
Guys.
The Lombardis are – it's a waterfall of Lombardis.
Thank you, Jared.
Legarius Sneed's knees are fine. See you guys.
See ya. We'll react to what Jared had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in later today to 102.5, 106.3 The Game for Vanderbilt Baseball as the Commodores take on UCLA in the Southern California College Baseball Classic. Pre-game at 6:45, first pitch at 7 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. You know, it's been a few weeks since I've been around for a stilly segment here on this program. It revitalizes me. The blood's flowing this morning. I feel awake now. We're good.
Mostly, a lot of people enjoyed several lines from that. Kyle Tucker.
They did.
I'm glad Kyle Tucker, you enjoyed those lines instead of like some comments that might have your kids asking you what the heck we're talking about. So that's good. I do have Matthew in Nashville sitting here with this. You know what? I'm not even going to address this because I fear for my blood pressure. Okay. Matthew in Nashville says, Jared is 100% right about Sanders. Again, most of the text line is in unison with us because it's insanely idiotic. Matthew Nestor says he does not have anywhere close to the talent Ward does. Okay, that's fine. If you think Ward's way better than him, that's fine. His name is definitely bolstering him in the standing. So, again, the idea is to make sure that we have Stillman quoted correctly. This brings me back to a Stilly and Caroline thing. It was more Caroline, I guess. But the Marvin Harrison Jr. is propped up in this draft because of his dad, because Marvin Harrison. And it's like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, all these guys, for the most part, have kids. Deion Sanders has another kid, as someone on the text line pointed out. Didn't even get invited to the combine. Why? So, again, I'm starting to do it. I don't want to do it. I want you to comment on this, Robbie.
I think Jared's absolutely right.
I hate you.
I think if it was Shedeur Rexroad, he'd probably be a fourth, fifth rounder. And I don't think
UDFA.
I don't think anybody'd be giving him a look. Right
UDFA.
Now. Yeah. That's how I feel.
Now, someone's asked about arm talent, arm strength. Again, like Drew Brees comparison has come up on the text line. That's pretty good. Actually, Drew Brees is a pretty good comparison. And I'm not getting
here.
Not,
we go.
Stylistically. No. Stylistically. Kirk Cousins is a good comparison stylistically. Kirk Cousins and Drew Brees are similar. Drew Brees better. Drew Brees won a championship and was a, you know, the top quarterback in the league. Cousins wasn't, but stylistically, you're talking about you go out and throw at some of these things, and you're not throwing lasers all over the field. Cam Ward will throw lasers all over the field. Now, Sanders would throw accurately because accuracy is his strength.
Yes.
Anticipation is his strength. Borgonzi talked about that this week. But his physical arm talent does pale in comparison to Cam Ward's. If that mattered, Jamarcus Russell would be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And we can go on down the list of that. It's Joe Milton, arm talent, insane. But does he always put it in the right spot? Can he throw it?
He looked pretty good that last game, man.
He did. So that's what we're talking about. And that's why not throwing is totally reasonable for Shedeur Sanders. That's exactly what you should expect. It's not a big deal. A big deal shouldn't be made out of it, but we know who does make a big deal.
Well, you know, there's a texter that's asking, like, Rex wrote answer, what's elite about Sanders? My follow-up to that, like, is there anything that's elite about Ward? Like, he's got very good arm strength. He doesn't have, like, superhuman arm strength. Like, are either one of the quarterback prospects elite? I don't know that you can make the argument that they are. So, like, I don't know that there is anything elite about Shedeur Sanders. I think there are a lot of things that are very good, the accuracy probably being most among them, but I don't know if there's anything elite about either one of them.
Right.
That would be how I answer it.
But there are other quarterbacks who have done incredibly well in this league who you say the exact same thing about his prospects.
Of course, yeah.
How about Brady Breeze Cousins? Nothing elite about any of them coming out of college.
For sure.
Nothing. And how'd they do? They did okay. I got more on the text sign. I'm going to go ahead and address it. What do we have next? Can I do this?
Sure.
This is pissing me off.
615-737-1025. I've got a robbery coming up at 745, but it looks like you're going to get two for the price of one today, baby. We'll get to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Rex Road's been upset by the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Tribe Called Quest is making me feel a little better.
That's good.
Okay. So I think this is actually a text that I was initially angry, but now I appreciate this text because I think this helps break this down into a reasonable discussion that kind of explains how it can get sort of blurred and confused. And I mean, still it can get confused. He's texting me now about how he was right about how Neighbors is better than Harrison. Neighbors had way more catches, more yards. Harrison had more yards per catch, more touchdowns. It'll be close, but that's fine. This player will be better than that player. I'm right all the time, wrong all the time, where everybody is, right? Harrison was a prospect because of his dad's name? If you ever said that, you should feel bad.
I agree.
So here's thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Robbie. God.
I agree with that.
Let's talk about.
Take his whack.
So here's the texter who says, you're absolutely delusional if you think Shedeur Sanders isn't helped out by his last name. If he had a different last name, he wouldn't be talked about nearly as much. Now,
well, the last part I agree with.
I do too. But that's what we're conflating media attention and coverage and chatter with NFL personnel people making decisions at quarterback that will either maybe win them a championship, keep their jobs, or get them fired. No one gives a crap in the NFL, and this is the answer from, like, Stilley to this,
yeah,
which is fair to a point. Well, Woody Johnson looks at the video game ready. Yes. There are some people in the NFL who are complete goofballs who do stuff that's insanely stupid. But
so the Ravens.
You know, go up and down the league, the personnel people, and they are choosing players who can play. Shedeur Sanders can play. Shedeur Sanders is not probably he's the number two quarterback in the draft, right? It'll be a surprise if he's not taken second somewhere. I could see him falling. I could see him being, well, like the Levis. And by the way, Will Levis, as someone brought up, is a great example of someone with arm talent that exceeds Shedeur Sanders. Will Levis throw a laser from 60 yards away, and you're like, oh, my goodness. But it doesn't matter if you can't consistently get the ball to the spot on time, which is what Shedeur Sanders does and why I've had him as my number one quarterback in this draft all along. I have not had him as my number one quarterback in this draft all along because his dad is freaking Deion Sanders. I couldn't give less of a crap. It makes him a media presence for sure. If these personnel people are drafting on that, well, they are going to get fired. Shedeur Sanders is a legitimate NFL quarterback prospect. You can dislike him as a prospect. That's fine. But to suggest that he's where he is because of his name, I would argue his name is absolutely a negative for him. And people are talking about all the distractions of Deion and he's going to be like Deion. Is he like Deion? Is he a cocky kitty? They play his song when they score a touchdown. I mean, it's absolutely a negative. It's something that if anything could drop him in the draft. It's not lifting him in the draft. And if you think that, you're stupid. I'd like to read Keith real fast. Sorry.
Sure, go ahead. You're on a roll. Don't let me stop you.
Keith says, I lost him now. Well, I'll say, quote, Peyton and Elon were only drafted because of their daddy, Jared in diapers. I mean, seriously, if Jared was on the radio then, I'd expect that would be the commentary.
Hey, I saw Will Levis last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's at the Preds game. Jeffrey Simmons was there. Got on the Jumbotron. Levis immediately chugged the beer. It was impressive. And, one of the few things this year that left his hand that didn't get intercepted. So I was happy with it, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey!
Oh, boy. Right. What kind of reception did he get? What kind of reception did he get?
He got a good reception because he immediately started chugging the beer. So it was good.
Yeah, that's good.
Really kind of a smart move by him.
Don't wait for whatever the reaction might be. Start pounding the beer, and you're going to be approved. Yes.
I just had to get one more in at Will Levis because I don't know how many more opportunities we're going to have.
Yeah, that is true.
I could see the Liam Cohen reunion happening already. He down there in Duval. Could happen at some point.
I mean, I wouldn't really want him to be my backup. I think someone will have him as a reclamation possibility. But Liam Cohen has seen and has elicited his best. So maybe that's a conversation for a different day. I'm glad we could talk about something different.
I kind of feel bad. I mean, I just took an unnecessary shot at him for all he's doing was watching a hockey game.
Poor guy's just trying to
drink
a beer.
Poor guy's just trying to live his life. And I had to get one last little dig in there.
Yes, you did.
Really kind of unprofessional on my part.
No, I mean, it's fine. You're forgiven.
In all seriousness, in the Sanders War discussion, you're going to be hard-pressed to look at, all these draft gurus and all the mock drafts coming out. And, again, is that the be-all, end-all? No, it's not. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find Cam Ward in any of these little mock drafts making his way out of like the top three of the top five. Sanders a little bit more all over the map. Like Sanders, I've seen Sanders at 2. I've seen Sanders at 3. I've also seen Sanders at like 12. It's just weird it does feel like when this whole thing started, and maybe this is just me reading too much into it, it felt like they were like neck and neck. There was the conversation of, who's better, Ward or Sanders? And it feels like there's been some separation there as people have looked into the film.
I think that's fair. I do think that there are some teams that are, even though I think it's dumb, I think that the stuff that comes with the last name is a negative for Shedeur with some teams. Again, I think that's a bad way to do business. I don't care if Deion whines about me from his press conference in Colorado because his kid, whatever. They're not protecting. He's not getting enough protection. Okay, great. It is apparent with a microphone, but I don't think that really matters. It's not going to affect the locker room. But the Shedeur Sanders is going to. I could see him falling. He could be. We've had a lot of drafts where there's the quarterback you expect to go someplace, and then the camera stays on him. Aaron Rodgers.
Will Levis.
Will Levis for sure. Brady Quinn was a guy who fell way past what people thought was going to happen with him. Yeah, I mean, Will Levis, again, talked about as the number one pick, certainly talked about as a top five pick, certainly talked about as a top half of the first round pick. Of course he's a first round pick, and he doesn't go in the first round. That was a pretty extreme example. I don't think that'll happen with Shadur. I mean, I think he'll go in the first round, and he'll go in the first round because he's a good quarterback prospect. You know, I think I've said all along, I think his floor is higher than Ward's, but yes, the film on Ward is the highlight, if you just take the highlights and get rid of the lowlights, it's eye popping.
We'll have the Rob rant coming up next. I got some things to say about growing cowardice in the world of sports.
Yeah.
We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, Mike. How many times have you fallen asleep on the plane?
I mean, this should actually be a Kaharski.
No, the last guy apparently had a problem with that. Can you stay awake on the plane?
Well, you're really detailing some great decisions here. You got more?
Right.
Right. Like, sometimes that's not the right way to go about it. Thank you, Robbie. God.
I agree with that.
Let's talk about
it. It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning here on the show. You already got a Rex Rant today. Unscheduled. Now you're going to get mine.
Let's do it.
All right. So, kind of lost in what's going on in the world of sports right now. If you're a Tennessee fan, you saw, I think it was last week, that Nebraska came out and they canceled their home-and-home series with Tennessee in 2026-2027. So, Tennessee and Nebraska, two staples of college football, Joe, in the 90s, were supposed to play at each other. It's one of those, you know, non-conference games that fans get excited about and they look forward to. And Nebraska pulled the plug. It really upset Danny White. He took to Twitter right after it happened. He was like, make sure you know Tennessee's not the one that did this. We did not cancel this. And Danny White was talking about that on Twitter. So I thought about it at the time. I was like, okay, well, Nebraska, who'd they replace it with? Bowling Green? And I was like, okay, so Nebraska doesn't want to play Tennessee, or are they just looking at their schedule right now and saying, yeah, we just don't feel like we're in a spot right now where that makes sense. Sometimes things happen money-wise and programs do that. So you kind of leave some room open for, you know, different situations that may arise. And then Matt Rhule got on the podcast with Urban Meyer. What's this stupid podcast called?
Triple Option.
Triple Option with Urban Meyer. And he said, I think the part that we've been waiting for coaches and in the back of our minds have known that some coaches believe this and think this way. I don't know that I've ever heard a coach actually say it after his program has canceled games. Here was the quote that he put out there on the Triple Option podcast. Quote, this is Matt Rhule. Why would you ever play those games? If we're being completely honest, Coach Meyer, I'm at the point in my career, in my fourth job, getting fired from the NFL. I kind of say what I feel nowadays. I could care less. First off, we got a problem there. Secondly, why in the world would a Big Ten team who's already playing 9 conference games, why would you ever play in one of those games? Now, Rex Road, when we had, you know, the conversation after the 12-team playoff was named, you had Nick Saban out there screaming about strength of schedule. And people were yelling about Indiana getting in the college football playoff and all these different things. And I thought to myself, I swear, if this turns into people just being terrified to schedule good, compelling non-conference football games, I'm going to lose my mind. And here we are with Nebraska running away from Tennessee in 2026 and 2027. Hey, Matt, why would you play one of these games? You know, you are allowed to win these games. You know, when you play these games, these big non-conference games, you're actually allowed to compete. And you're actually allowed, you know, if you got good enough players and you're a good coach and you can build a roster, you're actually allowed to win some of these non-conference games that can really help you in the long run here. You wrote an interesting piece on this at The Athletic. I'll let you speak on this here momentarily to get your thoughts on it. But, like, you know, Georgia beat the absolute tar out of Clemson last year to begin the season. I think that probably helped them at the end of the year. So when you're throwing it out there, why would you play these games? I understand, like, I've moved past, like, the expectation of, college football coaches and athletic directors really caring what's about, you know, what's best for the fans. Like, I think that went out the window a long time ago. But why would you play? It could help you, you know. You are allowed to win some of these games that you play, you absolute coward, Matt Rhule.
Well done. Yeah, I mean, it's like I guess in a way I appreciate that he was willing to say it, but it was a little bit – if you watch the podcast, it's like Urban Meyer – well, first of all, Urban Meyer's like, I'm concerned about not only the schedule, but then Urban totally agrees with him too. But even as he starts to say it, Matt Rhule's over there like, ah, like how, why would, you know, it's like, man, is this really, is this how people think? Now, a couple of things. One, I do think that there's a thing with Big Ten coaches, with the SEC, saying, hey, you guys start playing 9 games in your league like we do, okay, and then we're on an equal playing field, and then let's do the same thing scheduled. So, I think that could be some of it in play, but still, I mean, he canceled the Tennessee game, like you said. I mean, Nebraska fans are getting like Houston Christian, Bowling Green, Akron. I mean, like they're getting nothing. Exactly. They're getting home games. Now, if you're a Nebraska fan, does that make you upset? I say it should, but we know what it is. If you win and you get into the playoff, then great. It was smart. He also killed the spring game. He said he doesn't want people watching his players out there. Sounds cowardly to me, too, on that front. But, you know, it's like, again, if you win, then all these decisions look good to Nebraska fans. I'm worried about it, too. And to me, there's a couple things here in terms of, like, where it could go. One, there's some – the Big Ten SEC cowards, speaking of that word, who want to do this auto bid garbage. 4 auto bids for the Big Ten, 4 auto bids for the SEC, 2 for the Big 12, 2 for the ACC. They'll say, see, now, if we do this, now you can schedule those games, and as long as you do well enough in your conference, you're getting to the playoff anyway. But if I'm a coach, I'm saying, well, now, if I do those games, I have no incentive to get anybody hurt in those games. I think it's a terrible idea. What this comes down to is the selection committee has to actually reward teams. I think you're right. I think they did. I think they rewarded them. I think that I think Texas winning at Michigan still helped Texas. Texas was overrated all year. Why? I think the win at Michigan carried more weight with the committee than like we thought it should. But there's an example of playing a game like that, winning it, and establishing yourself right at the beginning of the season. You are one of the best teams. But the committee needs to formally and mathematically, to me, reward scheduling like that and penalize bad scheduling. In Indiana, they did play 3 crap teams last year. So I argue they should be in, but that's where we get into a little bit of conflict, right? I mean, we can't have, you know, the TV people lose their minds. We can't have Septembers with no good games.
No. I mean, again, this is a situation where a combination of self-preservation and greed is ripping this sport apart. And is it going to ever have a tangible effect on it? I don't know. I mean, the TV ratings are still great. People seem to really like the 12-team playoff.
So let's change it again. Yeah, so let's change it right away.
Let's just keep changing it, I guess. But like, I just think, like, if that's your way of thinking, like, why would we ever do this? Like, that kind of tells me you're a loser. Like, that tells me without telling me that you're just expecting to lose those games. It's like, why would you do it? So you win, and you got a very good win to point to at the end of the season and say, hey, look who we beat. That's why you do it. It's just such a loser comment from Matt Rhule.
It's a non-competitor comment. And, again, it goes in line with these auto bids thing. It's just ridiculous. So I'm glad you brought that up, though, and said it the way you did, because another thing he said was, I mean, hey, the same day he pointed out, you know, the same day – no, Notre Dame loses to Northern Illinois, and we beat Colorado. We got a huge win over Colorado. And then he's like, and then at the end of the year, you know, they got in and we didn't. I'm like, yeah, because they didn't lose again, and you got smoked by – like, Indiana beat you by a million. That's why you didn't get in. Like, you're trying to take that one-day data point and try to make a contrast? If the Colorado win would have helped you if you did anything at all last season. You didn't. That's – yeah.
I mean, what was their record at the end of the
7-5, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So great. Yeah, it's true. If you're a mediocre team, whether you play one of those games or not, you will not get in.
Right.
We can all agree with that one.
We can all agree. Hey, look, maybe that's Maybe that's just what he thinks they're going to be moving forward. I don't know. Maybe he feels like he's reached his ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, like Jackson here says Clemson made the playoff after getting hammered by Georgia, you know, to your point. And again, yeah, so Clemson.
Now, Clemson also won the conference championship.
That's the only way they got in.
Right.
So, and I like auto bids for champions. That's fine.
Yeah. Just seed it right.
Keep it to that. And Rule, of course, again, going with him. So, in his mind, well, there's no way we're going to get that auto bid in this league. Yeah. So, right.
Just loser comments from Matt Rule. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. We'll get back into the Titans, the NFL Combine, some news coming out on the quarterback front, which we'll get to coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.